Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey guys, welcome to the U Up podcast. It's the podcast of the radio show that exists on Sirius XM every single morning, Monday through Thursday, 10 to 12 Eastern on, what is it? You know it, Comedy Central Radio, channel 95 on your Sirius dial. You should get Sirius. It's not as much money as you think it is. There's tons of good content. You know the spiel. If you listen to the podcast, you know that I tell you every week. There's more to this show than just the clips I'm showing you on the podcast. There's a lot more. But thank you for listening to the podcast. Keep sharing it with people. I meet people every week at shows who listen, and it's just like so cool that someone, you're listening to this right now, and I'm recording it in my own life. Just like, I don't go to a studio. I just do this on the go. That's why it doesn't sound as good as the clips in the studio, because I'm literally getting my hair done right now, and I'm in like a salon in like a back room, which thank God, because if other clients at the salon heard me doing this, I'd be humiliated. I almost waited to do this recording till later when my hair girl, do you like being called a hair girl? Is that appropriate? A hairstylist. Hairstylist girl. I have to throw girl on there in some way. My hairstylist, Allie, is listening in on this, and I was going to wait until the foils were already set. Girls who get your hair done, you know what I'm talking about. Boys, just know that you get a bunch of foils in your hair, and then you have to wait for like 25 minutes, and then you go sit under a blow dryer, and then you get them taken out. And it's just a whole process. Anyway, didn't have time to wait. Had to get this going. So I just told my hairstylist, Allie, I was like, you're going to have to listen to me record this podcast. And she was like, dude, do you want to have to listen to the intro for my YouTube channel? And then you did an impression of your voice, which is like, if that woman, Elizabeth Holmes, changed her voice on the, you know, did you see that documentary, the HBO? Theranos, how she talked like this. If this was what Elizabeth Holmes did to her voice from a place of this, then what Allie does is the opposite on the other end. Wait, do your normal voice. Tell us who you are.
Hi, guys. I'm Allie. Oh, no, it still sounds fake.
No, but it doesn't. No, that's your normal voice. Now do your YouTube voice.
Hey, guys, I'm Allie, and we're back here live listening to my latest tutorial.
That's so funny. YouTube influencer voice is, yeah, about 4 octaves higher. And I don't know if that's right because I don't understand music, but that made me crack up. So as soon as she said that to me, I was like, okay, I can record this in front of her. Who cares? Because the truth of the matter is, someone's gonna hear this, whether it's Allie, whether it's you. Like, why am I embarrassed to record it now? And I'm not. So I hope your week is going well. It's Friday. I'm recording this from Los Angeles. I've been here for most of the week. The show this week is split up. Monday and Tuesday, the clips you'll hear from that were in New York. And then Wednesday and Thursday, I was in the new Sirius studio in Los Angeles. And I'm out here just getting things in order before I tape my special, which is coming out in coming up. I'm taping my hour special in 2 weeks in Los Angeles, May 22nd. You can request tickets online, nikkilaser.com. You can also check out all my tour dates. I'm on tour like all summer long, probably coming to a town near you. Go check it out. I just got my website redone, nikkilaser.com. But I'm out here getting my hair done. I'm doing a fitting for my special. I just went and tried on like a bunch of different outfits, and I woke up late for my fitting. I didn't have radio live this morning, which Fridays are usually like my day to sleep in, but I slept too much in. My alarm didn't go off, and I woke up, and I was supposed to be at my fitting, which is across town, 25 minutes away, at 9:30, and I woke up at 9:31. So I'm scrambling to get ready. I throw on clothes. I'm walking out the door. And then I realize I haven't showered in 2 days and I smell disgusting and I cannot put on these nice designer clothes because they won't be able to return them if I don't like them because I smell so gross. And I've been sweating at night in my sleep like hardcore. I'm a night sweater. I wake up some nights or some mornings and I look like I've jumped into a lake. I mean, it is that bad. The bed, I had to switch sides of the bed this morning because I had totally soaked through. It was like I pissed the bed. I mean, it's insane. So I was disgusting, and I had to go then go back inside and shower, and I was even later, but worth it because I was so gross. And then I go to the fitting, and then I went and got a facial, and the lady that gave me a facial was so slow, and I was running late for my hair appointment. And you know when you're trying to rush someone, but they don't understand that you're trying to rush them? And I wanted to scream. Because I haven't been meditating, because I haven't had time. I haven't had time to meditate, to work out, to sleep, anything. But you know what that's like. Being tired is the most, like, everyone's struggling with it. Whenever I complain about being tired, I'm just like, everyone's fucking tired. It's not just special to you. So I am just talking about my tiredness, knowing that you, listener, are probably going through the same thing in your own way, and I feel it. I feel you, and I feel it. And just things have been getting on my nerves more when I'm tired. I don't know about you, but like I cannot, when I'm tired, my emotions, I can't suppress my emotions as well because my defenses are down, and I literally, there's nothing I can do about it. It's like they bubble up and I have no defenses against them. And it's like, sometimes that happens to people when they're hungry, you know, but then you just have a Snickers and then you can be nice to people. But when you're tired and you're defenseless, there's nothing, you can't just like go sleep for a couple seconds and like feel better. You just become more and more unhinged and insane. So I've had no patience this week. And yesterday my feelings got hurt because the Comedy Store posted a photo of me and Theo Vaughn, who you're going to hear on the show next week. I believe it's next week. Yeah, Memorial Day. Theo Vaughn will be on the show. But anyway, they posted a picture because we were doing a show together last night, which he bailed on. Thanks, Theo. Thanks a lot. But they posted a picture, the Comedy Store did, on their account, which has hundreds of thousands of followers, if not more. And I read the comments just because a couple were like nice at the top. So then it sucks you in. And I don't read comments. You guys know that. And then it got dark fast. People just kept saying that it looked like I was his mother. Like many different people commented that separately. And I was like, how dare you? He's 5 years older than me. The only like thing that I could think is maybe Theo comes from like, you know, the South where they have teen moms. So maybe I look like a young mom to Theo. That's the best thing I could glean from any of those comments. And instead of writing something funny back, I just wrote, these comments hurt my feelings, and I left it because I think trolls need to know that you're mean. And I'm not going to say a funny retort because as a comedian, whenever you just say something serious, like that hurt my feelings, people go, oh, that's the best you could do. And it's like, yeah, it is the best I can do because my feelings are hurt and I'm still a human. So that leads us in to the first clip of the week. It's from Monday's show. Justin Silver and Miss Pat were in studio. Miss Pat has an amazing life story. I don't think Dr. Ruth was on the show last week. You heard me talk about her life story. Miss Pat has had just as harrowing as of a life story. And I really recommend her book, Rabbit. It's her autobiography. Literally, if you went down and made a list of every bad thing that could happen to you as a child happening to you, Miss Pat had it happen to her. Everything, guys. Everything. So Miss Pat is one of the most incredible women. She is, I believe, in her 50s. Or maybe late 40s. She looks like she's in her 30s, but she's been doing comedy for 12 years and she's killing it. But the deck was stacked against her, and she is extraordinary. And she was in studio and talking to me about my dating life, which I was like, who even cares about my dumb dating life? You've been shot twice, once in the head, once in the titty. Like, why are we talking about no boys like me? But you know what? She's awesome and wanted to give me some advice, and I appreciate her for it. This is Justin Silver, Miss Pat, and me on Monday's show in studio in New York City.
Yeah, and Nikki, I got to tell you, I love when people mix races. I think it's fucking awesome.
I think it is,
because you're going to learn to get some good food. This was your chicken is no longer bland. You're gonna learn a lot of shit.
Last year was the year of the first few black women. They were fantastic.
My son loved white girls, right? But I wish there was a book on how to date a black man. I need to write
tell
this
me,
book.
Tell me.
Because you can't go over black people's house. You know, like my son was dating a white girl. And then come over and she land on the couch and her feet on my couch. And I walk in and she don't speak to me. So I was like, this fucking snow bunny ain't going to speak.
And her feet are on your couch?
Yes. Like, oh, black people have a, do not put your fucking foot on our furniture.
Good to know. Okay.
So I said, so I walk in the living room. I was like, get you and your fucking snow bunny the fuck up out of here. She bitch didn't speak to me. So that's rules. Like my son, my other son, just love him too. And I say, well, tell these bitches to speak. I'm old.
So they're just scared of you or something? They're intimidated?
It's a culture thing.
Yeah, but you
speak.
Know what it also is? It's like these are where are they located?
Indianapolis.
Okay, so these are like white bread white girls,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, white bread.
If it's like,
well, I'm pretty white bread too.
I know, but I'm
know
saying,
some other tips.
But if it's like New York or like Jews or Italians, they're gonna fucking talk because
well,
it's the same.
Yeah. Hold on, I gotta get another tip. We have one more minute. Okay, if I date a black guy, what are some other things that white girls are messing up?
Don't touch the hair.
Okay.
You know not to touch the hair.
Yeah.
And don't say what you don't like. Just try the fucking food. And if she
what
saw
if I'm
the
vegan.
Well, they, black people vegan now too. My daughter's a fat vegan.
Okay. So, but try it.
But yeah, just try shit. I mean, don't go in the house and be all scared. Cause we hate when you act like you're scared of us. It's obvious we from two different cultures.
Yeah.
Talk, how you doing? And how was your day?
That's another thing I love about you is that you talk about a lot that you were scared of white people growing up.
I
or
was.
Just like intimidated by it. And when I hear you say that, it resonates with me because I was scared of, not scared of black people, but I was just, I didn't know how to, I had a lot of intimidation.
Yes.
I just wanted to be cool, and I thought that they thought I was this dorky white girl, and I have fear, not the fear that you associate with many white people being scared of black people, but like I just felt I wasn't cool enough, and I felt ashamed, and so I love hearing you talk about that because I'm like, oh, we are just the same.
We are the fucking
same. We're scared of each other for no fucking reason.
The only difference between me and you is my titties is bigger than yours.
That's the only difference.
That was Monday's show leading us into Tuesday's show. I guess I want to talk about, I'm still getting my hair done, guys. Still getting the foils put in. I sent a bunch of pictures of Haley Baldwin / Bieber to my hairstylist so we could nail whatever. I just want to morph into her. I was like, is there anything you could do to my face? And she's like, I just do hair. So I'm just tired of being super duper blonde because if you don't know, I'm naturally blonde, but as even someone who's naturally blonde, like unless you're Scandinavian and have some like genetic mutation, your hair as an adult woman, even if you were blonde your whole childhood, it eventually goes brunette. And that's what mine kind of does. But I was super blonde as a child, and so I try to maintain that, and I'm kind of tired of it because it takes so long and to get your hair done, and I just don't have the time for it. Even though it is relaxing, and I don't even have to say that because she left the room. So I didn't mean it. It's a chore. It's a chore to get your hair done, and I resent it, and I wish I didn't have to, even though the people I meet when I get my hair done is always so enjoyable, and what else? Yes, just been running around town doing hour sets every single night in Los Angeles. Thank you to everyone who came to shows and has supported me leading up to the taping of this special that's coming up. It is on the horizon. I'm going to be doing radio from LA the week of it, so that'll be very exciting. I'm feeling good and I'm feeling positive, and I just meditated, so I feel better. And it was a great week of radio. This was a hard week of radio for me to get through, if I'm going to be completely honest with you guys, because I have to talk for 2 hours every morning, and sometimes you're in a bad mood and you don't feel like being fun and funny. And that doesn't mean that you don't, I still have to be. And let me just say, there were some moments this week that I wasn't that fun or funny. I was just angry and, going off. But I think that's the beauty of what Comedy Central lets me do on my show. They just want me to be me. And so when I have days where I'm like, I could have been funnier than angry, I don't feel bad about it. I just feel like, okay, maybe someone related to that outburst. Maybe someone relates to the fact that I got into a fight with my mom on air on Tuesday, I believe. So if you want to hear that, go back and listen to Tuesday's episode in full, which I have a clip for you from right now. And by the way, I had my mom call in to the show because she was upset with me because of an Instagram post in which there was a birth announced. I posted a screenshot of a text conversation between my entire family, my immediate family, because my sister had a new baby last Thursday. Shout out to Poppy Louisa. That is the new baby's name, which my mom did not think was real. And so a birth announcement came in at 3 a.m. from my brother-in-law, like, this is her picture. Poppy Louisa weighs 7 pounds, 8 ounces, 19 inches, all the stats. And my mom responded, didn't say anything except, is that really her name? It still makes me laugh. And then she didn't even follow it up with anything, you guys. It just sat there for 40 minutes until I woke up in the middle of the night, probably due to night sweats, and I saw the text. And boy, I was happy that I had a new niece, but I was happier that my mom wrote back something deliriously hilarious. Like, I was cackling in bed in the middle of the night because my mom wrote back to a birth announcement of her second only grandchild. And I say only because I don't plan on having more, and I don't think my sister does. And she wrote back, is that really her name? My mom claims it was a joke, that she really did think, or that she thought it was a joke. That's what my mom claims. My mom loves the name Poppy now. I want to be very clear about that. She is a loving grandmother, and she just thought it was a joke, and that's why she responded that way. But you should go check out the Instagram post. It is hilarious. It was from, like, two Thursdays ago. Anyway, so this next clip is from Tuesday's episode, the same one in which my mom called in. If you want to hear that part of the show, which is kind of uncomfortable, to be honest with you, but worth a listen. I got a lot of DMs being like, you're a bitch. You're a bad daughter. And you know what? You're not wrong. I was not in a good mood that day. And my mom and I have since worked it out. Have we? Who knows? Anyway, this is from Tuesday's show. Jordan Klepper, Anya Marina, Andrew Collin. Jordan Klepper came into studio to talk to us about his new documentary series, Klepper, which is on Comedy Central. You should definitely DVR it. K-L-E-P-P-E-R is the name of the show. And he got into some trouble when he was out there shooting with different activists. So check out this clip from Tuesday's show.
Do we see you get arrested on this show?
You do. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's our third episode right now.
Oh, great. Okay, and how can we talk about?
Can we spoil it a little bit? We
can
spoil it.
You've never been arrested before.
I have not been arrested.
So that
was
your first.
That was
like
my first
bad
arrest.
Boy, though. You're a bad boy.
I am a bad boy. You know, as you said, as a nice guy who walks into rooms, put people at ease. I'm still
you
a
really
bad
do.
Boy.
Yeah.
For God's sakes, I'm wearing a jacket indoors right now. Let people know that at home, like a bad boy does.
It's a denim jacket.
Yeah, a black denim jacket. So bad boy stuff.
Oh. On top of a
like
denim shirt.
Yeah, double. Oh. Yeah, so much denim. Oh my God, the amount of bad boy denim going on right now.
Jordan, were you just so? I mean, you getting arrested? I bet you were pretty devastated. But like, you don't want a record, or were you like, this is cool?
It was a pretty life changing moment. Mm. Like I was nervous about crossing the line of like, I want to cover these stories, but I don't want to be like the activist for every story. That is very limiting and also, I think, insincere. But this one was, these are undocumented DACA students who just want to go to college. And
yeah.
So this was like a lot of people I would meet along the way. And you can joke about stuff, but the thing that kept getting thrown at me was, you got to weaponize your privilege. Like, we can joke about the fact, but you're a white guy with a TV show and you're talking about Native American issues. Great, let's find humor in this, but like, understand that you have a little bit of power and a light that you're shining. So use that. And I think like when you go down and meet students like that and they kind of are looking for a voice, this thing happened where it was like, I can kind of stand up with these other faith leaders who stood up and protested and tried to bring light. And so it was like, I think I'm really doing this.
Yes.
And I will say what an amazing thing that happened. I'm an atheist. I have been. I've been grumpy about religion for a long time. Mm-hmm. But you go down to Atlanta, I spend time with these students, and the other people who were there to support them were faith leaders. They were pastors around town because they grew up in the civil rights era Atlanta. They know the history there, and they're like, the purpose of the church is to be a community where we can be a tribe and to push forward for rights for people who don't have them, which was a new respect for faith leaders that I hadn't had.
Yeah.
And then as I'm getting arrested, I spend 12 hours in jail with Pastor Matt, who was my grandmother's pastor 10
what?
Years earlier in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
What?
Who I met 10 years earlier. My grandma was like, let's bring my little atheist grandson in to meet Pastor Matt. He's our new Kalamazoo Congregational Church pastor. He's great. And I'm like, oh, who is this guy? 10 years later, he's bounced around from church to church. He's found this cause and is like, "This, I need to stand up for this." We spend the day in jail talking with Pastor Matt about my grandma. So,
oh my God.
So any moment in my head that's like, is this the right thing to do? I'm like, yeah. Grandma told me so 10 years ago.
That's so cool. Wow. So you have a record now.
I do.
Yeah, so what was that like getting like handcuffed and booked and all that? Was that traumatizing?
It was. I was with people who it had happened before, and they're like, this is how it works. Yeah. And so it's nerve-wracking. You get thrown in a car. All of those things you hear are true.
And like, you were in like a holding cell for 12 hours?
Holding cell for 12. They bounce you around. They get you in there, and you do the strip search, the cough thing, right
really?
Off the bat.
What?
Yeah.
I've done that.
You had to like bend over?
Like, honestly, it's the first thing. You hop on a little paddy wagon. Well, they throw you in the back of a car, and I do not fit.
Is that when you recognize Pastor?
Yes. I was like, Pastor Matt, hey, man.
I know that ass. All right, that's bad. All right.
He's a man of God, all right?
Listen, there was a reason he was bounced around from church to
yeah,
church.
Yeah, he was bouncing around.
Don't Google him.
Yeah.
No, we love Pastor Matt. So you had to strip
Yeah,
shirt.
They walk you in and they line you all up and there's a guy whose unenviable job is like,
oh
all right,
God.
You come on over here. They open up a door. You go around a corner. You take off the clothes and I'm just watching everybody hand their clothes to this guy who sets it aside. And then they ask you to cough twice, to squat and cough twice.
Oh my God.
Which honestly is so funny because I literally am watching this happen
I
to person
they
after
fingered
person.
You.
There's no it was no finger. No.
Okay.
No. It's a cough situation.
I really always thought that.
Wait.
How you said it was like you've been dreaming about this your whole life.
Yeah, it sounded like you were slipping off your seat as you said it.
I thought they fingered you. I've always thought a strip search was them making sure you didn't have a weapon up your butt.
No, they make you cough so that anything would like
come out your ass.
But what if your ass is super tight?
That's a good point.
I think it's a legitimate question. Because the two cough thing is industry standard is what you find out. Like it's just two and then it's so.
Yeah. It's out.
So if you can withstand two coughs, then you're fine.
Okay.
So
good
that's...
to know. Good
so
to
what,
know.
I mean, that's so scary.
It's very strange. You're watching that happen. I'm coughing, and then you're bounced around. I'm in a cell. Honestly, it's like the premise of a bad joke. I'm like an atheist in a cell with five pastors for like 3 hours, and then they bounce me around. And then at one point, somebody comes in. They're like, "Do you have a television show?" And I'm like, "I do, but I want to stay here." They're like, "We're told to bring you to another cell." And
wow.
So I'm like, "I'm staying with them." They're like, "You need to come with me." And they take me to another cell. I'm like, "Well, I'm in my own cell. Fine, this is what it is. You know, I'm kind of VIP. They don't want me in with general population." And then like a half hour, 45 minutes later, they come back. They're like, "You're fine. We're just going to put you back."
We saw it got canceled.
Yeah, we Googled the ratings for season one. And just put him back with everybody else.
We're going to switch it up. We're going to put you in.
We thought you were Michael Costa. Yeah.
That was Tuesday's show. And on Wednesday's show, we had in my best friend, former lover, first love, all of those things, Pete Lee. If you don't know the story between me and Pete Lee, comedian Pete Lee, I think on Instagram he's Pete Lee, Pete Lee, Pete Lee. You should go watch You Up on YouTube. The show that you're listening to right now, there are video clips, tons of them, online on Comedy Central's Facebook page. And also if you Google or if you YouTube search You Up or go to our You Up SXM Instagram page, the link for all of the YouTube clips are there. You guys should go watch those and share them. But one of the first ones we did was when Pete Lee was in studio and him and I told our entire relationship. He was the first guy to he was the second guy I ever had sex with, the first guy to give me an orgasm, and I was deeply in love with him. He broke my heart and didn't talk to him for 11 years, and now we're best friends, and his girlfriend is one of my best friends. So that's our history. He came into studio on Wednesday with in Los Angeles with J.F. Harris, who is another one of these comedians who's just so – both Pete and J.F. Harris are emotionally intelligent young men, and this was a particular day where I was feeling frustrated with men and was lamenting to them. And if you listen to the show, you're probably a good guy too. So when I complain about guys, I'm not talking about you. I know there are exceptions to these rules. And we were just trying to explore that and explore the reasons we are the way we are. And these are both two men that go to therapy and work on themselves. So it was a fascinating episode, front to back. I loved these guys. Again, this is J.F. Harris, J.F. Harris. Great comedian. Check him out. And Pete Lee, talking about our emotions in studio in Los Angeles on Wednesday.
Fred, what we were talking about before, hold on. You have a girlfriend who's a very emotionally
intelligent,
as do you, Pete Lee.
It's so rare. I mean, you were talking about that on the male side. I think that on the female side, women are like 90 levels above us, but it's so rare to find anyone who's done that work. Like really done that work.
That's what initially attracted me to my girlfriend. I was like, oh, you've done the work. You've gone
it's
to
so
therapy.
Hot.
It really is very sexy in a woman.
I love when I hear that a guy has like a really he's very open about a fucked up childhood or something fucked up happening to him. I'm like very attracted to that because it makes me think that they have started to work on it. So they're like, oh, they're willing to tell me this right now. I get almost like turned on. I'm like, oh, this guy like is willing to share. And then it turns out sometimes they're willing to share, but they haven't looked into it. And they're just, a lot of guys do the thing of, I know what makes me who I am. And I know. And it's like, you don't know. You honestly don't know. Like, you think you know, but you don't know. It's like the real world. You think you know, but you have no idea. No, that was Diary. Remember that on MTV? The Diary of Britney Spears. You think you know, but you have no idea. This is the Diary of Britney Spears. That's supposed to be the intro.
That's a great impression.
You think you... Wait, she's more like... You got... No, that's Paris Hilton. Whatever. I had it for a second.
I think you... Yeah, you were dialed in. It was really...
I was dialed in. But yeah, you don't know. You don't know how much there is to uncover. You think, oh, I know my dad drank, and that's why I do this. It's a little more... in depth than that.
Yeah, I recently went down a rabbit hole about bullying because I was bullied a lot as a kid. You know, I mean,
so were you, JF? Yeah. JF just raised his hand like a kid who's been properly bullied.
Yeah,
don't want to cause a stir. Don't want to draw attention.
I'm just be quiet just over here.
Just a cute little hand raise.
Don't hit me. That was a don't hit me hand raise.
We've got two kids who were bullied here.
Yeah, and. Because I've been to therapy and I've talked about the bullying, and my last therapist, I was like, I swear to you, everything traces back to this, and he's like, no, it's your mother and your dad, and I'm like, okay, Freud, fucking shut up, it's totally the bullying. And I was actually listening to an episode of Joe Rogan where he had a guy on that was an expert and how bullying changes your brain. And I went down a rabbit hole and I was like, this is totally it. Like,
yeah.
I've been working
on PTSD from bullying.
It's PTSD and it literally rewires your brain, and you have to do different things in therapy when that's the cause. And I've been treating, like, my dad left when I was 3, and I really have not cared about that a whole lot.
Yeah.
Like, I really, like, I know that that's not the source of my emotional trauma, but, like, you know, my brother beating the crap out of me all the time, who's, like, one of my best friends now.
Oh,
like,
boy.
Like, I love him. But then also the bullying that happened in middle school. I beat up one of the most popular guys in school because he sprayed right guard in my cut at the skate park.
Ow.
And, like, just instantly my monkey brain was like, you punch
beat.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ouch. Yeah. Punch.
Yeah.
And I beat him up, and all the cool kids were in school. And then for the rest of, from 7th grade on, I was, like, persona non grata at school. I went to school every day. They would yell stuff at me. They bullied me. And that's why I walk into a comedy club and I'm like, is everybody going to be mean to me? Is this going to be bad?
Everyone hated you for all of middle school because you beat up that kid?
Yeah, everybody hated me. And I got...
Were they scared of you because if you beat him up? Understand bullying a kid who fought someone and won.
It was, I remember that, well, I grew up really poor. I had a really shitty house. And like that day, all the kids went to Craig Knutson's house. Oh, I just said his name. Since then, I will say this. Since then, as an adult, Craig and I, like, we've made up. We, like, went out for a beer. I run into him in Chicago O'Hare on and off. And, like, he'll literally be like, dude, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, like, he must have gone through therapy and talked about it. He's like, I'm so sorry. But, yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know why, but, like, they just chose sides and then everybody hated me. And, like, even the kids that weren't in that cool group were like, we don't know if we can talk to you.
Right.
Like, it was such a bad thing.
How many years was this?
This was from 7th grade to 12th grade.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it was bad. And, like, in that time, I was sponsored for skateboarding. I was on MTV. Like, I did all this cool stuff.
that like everybody in school should have been like, oh my God, let's put Pete up on our shoulders. And they were like, yeah, who cares?
Yeah. You know, that makes sense though, that why you are so desperate for people to like you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's another gripe I have with most men is that I can't stand this desperate need to be liked. You've worked on it.
Yeah.
But when I can't handle it anymore. Oh, it's why do you care what that person thinks about you? I'm sitting right in front of you and you're making my time with you less fun because you're taking care of this person's needs who doesn't like you, doesn't care about you being here, doesn't need you.
It's so weird. It literally is. I used to go,
ugh, like kind of bummed out. It literally repulses me now that I'm like, you favor this stranger over me.
Yeah.
And just because you don't want to seem rude. First of all, you're not rude. You have boundaries.
Yeah.
This person's annoying. Be a man and fucking put your foot down and don't let this person, this happens all the time. And to women too. I mean, I used to do it too and just give anyone whatever they wanted because I just didn't want them to not like me. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
That was Wednesday's show. I love coming to LA because I get to have people in studio that I don't get to when I'm in New York, even though I love my batch of friends in New York that are friends of the show. If you listen to the show regularly, you know the regulars. Andrew Collin, Ian Fidance, Claire Parker, Karen Feehan. I'm missing others. Good old Tom Takar. Anya Marina. You know the regulars. But in LA, I have a whole other batch of regulars. Pete Lee is one of them who you just heard, and now Carlisle Forrester. She calls herself Queen of Squirt Nation. You guys are Squirt Nation. I don't know if you know that, but that when the show first got started, we decided to call people who like the show Squirters. I don't remember how it got started, but that's why I say Squirt Squirt at the end of every episode, and that's why you guys are Squirt Nation. Carlisle Forrester listens to every single show. She's one of my best friends. She is... hilarious, honest, hot, a hot mess in a lot of senses of the word. And she would totally own up to that and admit that she is one. But she is so funny and just she was my assistant during Dancing with the Stars. So she drove me around everywhere and we lived together and we had a goddamn blast. So I love having her into studio because she is willing to just be real about all of her crazy, insane sex stories, drug stories, drinking stories. She's wild and so, so funny. So enjoy this clip with Carlisle Forrester in studio yesterday. We're talking about boys. She's dating some guy or she's sleeping with some guy that has just give her the runaround for so many months to the point where I'm like, you know, when your girlfriend likes a guy and you're like, I can't be friends with you anymore if you keep doing this, like I'm going to pull out. You kind of do an intervention. I read a letter to her. I'm shaking as I read it. Carlisle, if you choose to keep seeing this guy, I will not be a part of your life. Do you guys watch Intervention? That was a pretty dope impression of every sister on that show. Anyway, Carlisle Forrester was in studio. Jessica Wellington, Jess Wellington 2, I believe, is her Instagram handle. She is a hilarious comedian in Los Angeles who is a regular at the Comedy Store and works there. And she's a young comic, you know, relatively. I think we're the same age, but she's been doing comedy. She's newer to it. And she's ambitious and she's a go-getter. And she looks like a lesbian and she's not, which was fascinating. We talked about that earlier on in the episode. But she's in on this too. She'll be back to the show. She was awesome. Again, this is Jess Wellington and Carlisle Forrester in Los Angeles. Enjoy it.
Well, are you working on loving yourself? Do you want to love yourself? Or you just seem like, I don't love myself and that's the way it's going
to
be.
I know. I do need to work on it more.
Because don't you realize that you're never going to find someone that treats you well the way you want to be treated until you like yourself?
Oh, wow. I was about to... It's like, God, Nikki.
We get deep.
Tagged that at the end.
You can't. Yeah. You literally can't find someone that will treat you nicely if you don't love yourself. You won't you won't stay with someone who treats you nicely because you'll be grossed out by them because you're like, wait, you have a bad, I don't like your taste in people because I'm bad. So why would I, you won't respect someone who's nice to you if you don't like yourself. You just can't.
Right.
I mean, that's fundamentals.
So I am working on it. I'm hitting a bottom with the self-love thing for sure.
I mean, it just gets boring to hate yourself. Like, what's
What's in it for you? Fuck somebody, like, no matter how good the sex is, I'm talking about the other person now, like, to have it be explained to you for 2 hours that they do not like you before you fuck.
And that's
that
your foreplay?
That happened to me the other night.
That's your foreplay. Yeah. You're like, oh, no. My God, tell me more about how I'm a piece of shit.
He just wanted me to know and solidify that we were going to have sex and it was not going to mean anything more. And then he liked this other girl, told me about the other girl. And, yeah, and we still fuck because it's amazing. But
it wasn't Theo, was it?
No,
it's no, but
not
why? Why? Okay, so if a guy said that to me, I'm sorry, I would not, I don't care how good the sex was. If a guy was like, I don't like you, I'll never like you, I'll never want a relationship with you, and that's what I wanted with him, which is what you want with this guy, why would you have sex with him, Carlisle?
It's the most amazing sex I've ever had.
Was he nicer about it at least a little bit? Like, he just like, I don't like you that way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I was. Like, I like you. I know the sex is amazing, but like, we can't go there because... I mean, basically, he doesn't like my personality. It's not a physical anything. It's that he feels our personalities don't mesh.
And that's why I can't be friends with you if you continue to be like this. I'm serious.
This is Nikki and I's breakup on
I'm
the
not
show
kidding you.
Today.
This makes me so sad. If you're not working towards liking yourself more, I got to get you out of my life because are amazing. And I can't keep being friends with someone who will sleep with a guy and give him everything he wants after he just told. And I'm not going to be mad at this guy for you. I'm not going to be like, he's such a piece of shit because he's telling you everything and then you still have sex with him.
Yeah.
You're making your bed and I'm not going to sympathize with you when this guy breaks your heart again. I'm not going to be like, poor Carlisle, this guy sucks,
lessening.
Fuck this guy. I'm not going to do that shit for you anymore because you just told me that he told you everything.
Yeah. I don't think he has the power to hurt me as much as he once did because I know now what's on the table.
So you don't, when after you had sex with him that time, were you not like, stay and like wanting to hear from him, or did it fuck you up for a couple days?
I mean, I was happy that I got banged out so good.
Okay.
Right. Sometimes you need a woodsman.
Yes. Thank you, Jess. It's just sometimes, you know, I don't know. Sometimes that's what makes the sex hot, I guess, is the fact that I know he's unattainable.
And yeah, I get it. I used to be attracted to men who don't like me or who can't, and I continue to be attracted to men who can't be there for me. But the second they tell me that, I mean, I listen.
Whenever this happened, whenever it all came to a head in January and I told you, I could feel like Nikki pulled away from me because of how crazy I was for this guy.
Yeah.
Like, she was just like, I can't be around
this. Well, I said it yesterday on the show. I'm not interested in being friends with people who don't like themselves, who aren't meditating to try to be better people, who aren't seeking.
Well, like we talked about earlier,
but you are,
I am
you
actively
are
trying.
Looking. Yeah, but you didn't say that you, but you just said to me that you're not working on liking yourself better. You always seem to be, that's the problem I have with you, is that
I'm
so set in your ways of like, I'm shit, I know I'm shit, and I'm going to find someone who treats me like shit, and that's just the way my life is going to be. That's the way I am, that's the way it's always going to be, and that's I'm Carlisle.
This
I hate myself, I'm shit, I know I'm shit, and I'm just going to find a guy who's just going to fuck me, who's going to have a different girlfriend, and I'm going to be his chick on the side, and that's fine, that's my life, that's what I deserve. I'm always going to be doing this, and that kind of talk. That can be your present situation and I'll be friends with that person. But if that's the, this, Carlisle always does this thing where she goes, that's it. That's just who I am. That's, and I'm not going to try. That to me, I'm like, I don't want any
part
of that.
What if it's my brand though?
It's not your brand. It's so boring. It's so boring for that to be your brand because you work so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
It physically and comedy wise, why not? Why think you're shit? Why do all of that stuff if you truly think you're just
I understand the obtainability thing, though, because I was in the Air Force. I slept with a lot of married men. I'm not saying I'm proud of it.
Yeah. You weren't married.
I wasn't married, but I knew that they were married.
Yeah.
You know, and it was fucked up, but it was because it felt unobtainable. And then when you got it, it was just like, wow.
Well, yeah. It's unobtainable. It's not because you want something you can't have. It's because you don't want someone to truly love you because you don't love yourself. And you know these men can't truly love you. And so you seek them out because you don't feel lovable. And so it isn't about, if this guy turned around and wanted to love you, you wouldn't like him anymore.
Yeah.
It's not like you're like, you I really do believe that. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe if he was like, I want to be in a relationship with you, you'd be like, oh my, this is amazing. I do think that the only reason you like him is because he doesn't like you. And that's just juvenile to me. We got to move past that as women. That's like
the only reason I like him is because the chemistry.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But how can he look you in the eyes and tell you he doesn't like you? He doesn't like your personality. He doesn't want to ever date you. He doesn't want to be around for you. He just wants to use you sexually. How can you give that to him? Is the sex that good?
He always says that I'm trying to backdoor a relationship through sex, and it's just not there.
Yeah, and you are. Aren't you? I mean, you know you have that going
for
you.
Yeah, no, I think I was at one point.
And so are you going to continue to sleep
now
with
I
him?
Kind of know what's on the table.
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to sleep with him.
Well, let's concentrate on Shadow Boy.
No, Shadow Boy doesn't stand a chance because he likes her. This is just so sad to me.
Shadow Boy's so young, though. I just don't know if I
can. How old is he?
I'm used to being with somebody. Well, he's 28.
Oh.
And I'm used to dating older men. I don't know, it's kind of my vibe.
Right.
So,
but you,
it's a change.
No, there's no way that the Shadow Boy has any chance with Carlisle. It's like, aww, she is so broken. No offense to you, but you are so, you don't value yourself at all based on the men that you've chosen in your life. And I'm projecting a lot,
there's
by the way.
There's a huge smile on my face, everybody. It's okay.
No, I'm projecting, and you know this.
I know.
The men you've chosen aren't good to you.
Yes.
As like one after the next.
Yeah.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast this week. That wraps up everything that we needed to cover. Monday through Thursday, we made it. I am still waiting to get my hair rinsed out. You've helped me and held my hand through this process, and I'm better for it. I truly feel like if you listen to this podcast, you are like a friend of mine because I talk into my phone every week and record these podcasts as if I'm talking to my friends. So thank you for listening. Thank you for putting up with me when I'm in a bad mood, when I'm in a good mood, when I'm feeling manic. Thank you for your DMs that are both cruel and kind. I read them all. I don't reply to them all, but I just love you guys, and thank you for listening. And I used to call bullshit on people that were like, I love my fans. My fans keep me going. But I'm kind of starting to see what they mean by that, because the people that really come to my shows and support me, like, and listen to this podcast or listen to the Serious Show, we would be friends. If you like me enough to listen to my voice this much, we would be friends. So thanks for being my friend. And I'm not going to start crying right now. I'm not even close. People usually say that when they're close to crying. I got to be honest with you guys. I'm not even talking about how what you mean to me does not elicit tears, but that doesn't mean I'm not truly touched by it. So please come see me on the road. I do meet and greets in every town. I think you have to pay a little bit more to do the meet and greet part of the show. But if you DM me and say you really want to meet me and you can't afford the meet and greet thing, I will make sure you get bumped up to VIP status. That is for you, podcast listener, who listens all the way to the very end of the show. So DM me, and if I see it, I will bump you up to VIP. I can't promise that I'll see it because sometimes I get flooded with stuff. But if you find a way to get in touch with me and let me know that you want to be VIP and you couldn't afford it, I will be glad to bump you up. Thank you for coming to my shows. I'm on the road a ton. All my dates are listed at NikkiGlaser.com. That's where you can get tickets. And since we've made it to the end of the show, let me give you something that I recommend. People are asking me all the time, Nikki, what's the best vegan this or that? I really want to recommend, I just got into Kind Bars this week. And I know everyone knows Kind Bars, but they're fucking delicious, dude. They're so good. You got to get the ones with the low amount of sugar, though. Don't get the high sugar, 5 grams of sugar. It's labeled on it. Those are what I recommend. Try them out. I've got to go get my hair rinsed out. Thank you for listening. I love you. Squirt, squirt.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.